Corridors and Competitions. A Stella Firma fan fiction, written by Koshecki B. Read by God of Laundry Baskets. It is rated Gen with pairing David 7, Trexel, Percy. The hallways are always empty at night. They are large and quiet and empty, and it feels so, so wrong in a way that Trexel could not describe. The hallways are quiet, and he is all alone, and for once it isn't his choice, and he wants to scream, but no one will hear him. Those huge hallways should not be empty. He doesn't like it, not at all. Most of the employees of Stella Firma do not make their way to the hallways anyway, preferring the ease of travel that chutes give, but they still bustle with life during the day. Clones rushing around with papers, mops, slurry, or whatever to fulfill their tasks. How could they if they were all confined to a room? Some still are. As a companion, Percy always had their freedom of movement. As an assistant, David still doesn't have his. They are out in the open when everyone's awake to keep an eye on them. Imogen is always watching, of course, but the managers trust her even less than they trust the clones. She is known for concealing some information, which is stupid, really, since she is the one who ruins everything. Trexel doesn't trust her either. There are only two beings he trusts, really. But he has enough sense to know that things will go Imogen's way regardless of any citizen employee's decisions. The clones aren't very talkative or even responsive, but they always listen and never doubt him. The company Trexel prefers, even if he does sometimes wish more of them were like David or Percy. He knows David still works on figuring it out, despite the disappointment that was meeting clones other than himself or Percy. He hopes they succeed, but of course, his two clones would still be the best, as befits Trexel's company. Trexel makes his way down the large, empty hallway, with no company save for Imogen, if she can be considered as such. He isn't lonely. Why would anyone dare to think that? But it just isn't right how deserted they are. Even if that's what makes it such a genius idea to use them when he wants to remain undetected, he still prefers the vents. But that's just what Hartrow and Standards and whoever else would expect of him. Here, they would probably not deign to come, even if they knew where he was. And the Geissmen are proud, too. But more than that, they are practical and inventive. So really, his mother could shut up about him besmirching the family name. Not that he really cares what she would have said if she were alive. Percy has taken to staying with David the week after their first good review. They were so worried and alone, and Percy was always so kind, and Trexel did not miss his company at all. Well, maybe a little, but only because Percy is his. Trexel's steps don't echo on the cold metal floors, just as cold as the air around it. He isn't an amateur, really. He figured out how to move quietly before he could even walk. It was easier to sneak out that way, when he wanted to explore the ship. His mother pretended to care enough to punish him if she caught him, but not so much if he was missing. Spending time with Percy has done David a lot of good, Trexel had to admit. They were pretty great already, inquisitive and willful, even if a little shy at the beginning. Trexel knew they were his, just as he had known that about Percy from the moment he was first introduced to him, two toddlers sitting across the room from each other, one human, one clone. He was so happy when they survived that first week. It meant it was safe to get attached. It meant that Trexel could keep him if he tried. Trexel isn't not allowed to be in his office after hours. Stella Firma would never do something so unproductive as to forbid that. But it would attract attention he does not want if he were to appear to work any more than he does. Even if it would be clear to most who know him exactly what's happening, Hartrow might try to use it to make him actually do something. And Trexel does like attention as a rule. He really does, but only when he wants it. He can be low-key if he wants. Trexel can be anything with enough motivation. And maybe he does miss Percy on nights like this. Quiet, sleepless, dare he say, lonely. But he's allowed to miss the only person who's been with him for so long, the only person he could bring himself to care about for the longest time. And maybe he misses David too, the only other person to worm their way into his heart like the slimy, slimy clone he is. No one but the two of them would believe it, and Percy would know regardless. The office is close to his upper-level quarters, finally, which comes with an executive position, so the walkover is short for once. Drexel opens the door quietly, stepping inside quickly. He doesn't have to. He absolutely does not pout at all. The lights are still on, and David is still bent over their table, just fiddling with something or other instead of writing up a recommendation. One of his craft projects, judging by all the paper and felt and pom-poms and feathers lying about. Percy is sitting by their side, engrossed in a book. Drexel thinks he recognizes it from the family library, but he never cared for the same sort of books Percy likes, not any more than to get some for him. Percy's eyes drift to him right away, and their lips stretch into a smile. Drexel grins in return, announcing at full volume, "I have come to a conclusion that you two are desperately in need of my amazing company." Percy chuckles at that. He closes the book they were reading. They're so clever and nice. They know too well that Drexel needs all the attention from him. David startles at that, knocking a few pieces of paper off the table. "Drexel!" They groan as they scramble to pick them up. Drexel considers taking a peek at them, but decides that he does not want to know if he'd like to burn them quite yet. Not when he won't be in a mood to resist the urge. Antagonizing David is fun, but not the point. "Can't you enter like a normal person for once?" "Normal is boring," he huffs. "And have you known me to be boring, David? Have you ever known me to be boring? Don't tell me you have, David. Don't tell me. It'll be a lie, and the both of us know it. And I'll have to break up with you for the mere insinuation that I am boring. You don't want that, do you, David?" "Now, now. We don't want to be hasty. I'm sure David meant no such thing." Percy comes to hug Drexel from behind. He melts at their touch, always so gentle with him. Not that he doesn't like how strong David is, mind him, especially when he causes them a bit of bruising. But there is something to being treasured so openly. "Besides, you know you care too much about them."
"Do not," Drexel protests on instinct. "But you are mine, and I won't let you go if you ask, so there."
That earns him a laugh from the both of them. He huffs.
"Now come here and hug me too,"
Drexel continues, opening his arms in invitation.
"I demand affection. Appease your king with affection."
"What are you the king of this time?" they ask, but comply with his request, pulling Drexel and Percy both into his arms.
"Everything, naturally. How can you not know that, David?"
Drexel pouts. Percy pats his head.
"Clearly," David sighs. "My mistake."
"Glad you acknowledge it."
"The two of you finally want to go to sleep?" Percy asks. "It's getting rather late, as I've told you before, David."
"I'm still making that toy," David answers.
"Don't wanna," Drexel answers at the same time, then amends,
"No sleep, but we are heading to bed. I'm tired, David. So weak and starved of your affection."
There might be a little more truth to that statement than he'd like to admit, but he doesn't like thinking about that too closely. He just wants to rest with the two loves of his life by his side. Drexel doesn't think that's too much to ask, especially for someone as great as he is.
"All right," David concedes. "If it gets you to take care of yourself."
As if they aren't just as bad. Drexel feels Percy's smile against his hair. It's nice. The end. Thank you for listening.